A Gethsemane Devotional. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 62. Now, as some of you will know, my wife and I were very privileged to be able to spend 2 weeks in Israel recently. One of the highlights was a devotional communion service in Gethsemane in Jerusalem, where Jesus spent that special night of prayer. Whilst we were there, Douglas Jacoby shared some thoughts before we took communion. I recorded the audio, and over the top of some still images, we're going to have a look at what he had to share. And I hope it's helpful and encouraging to you spiritually. So let me know what you think.
A dramatic situation had occurred. A catastrophe had taken place. David found himself very much alone. And this is 1,000 years before Jesus was here. More than 1,000 years before Gethsemane. There are many parallels. To name just a few, they're both of the tribe of Judah. Both born in Bethlehem. Both men of faith, and both of them are anointed kings. We assume that Christians are familiar with the story of Jesus' last night on earth, of this place, Gethsemane, of his anguish prayer, of his arrest, of his being marched off to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, in Gallicantu, of his being taken to the fortress Antonia on the far side here to meet Pontius Pilate. We're familiar with all those events, the scourging, carrying his cross, stumbling, the help he got from Simon of Cyrene, the crucifixion, his burial, and more. To share from 2 Samuel 15:13, a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." Then David said to all the servants who are with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." City of David, over there. We were there this morning. But it's a dangerous time. There's political instability. It's a coup d'etat. And who is leading this coup but the son of David, Absalom? He's been betrayed. How much can we imagine the pain of the betrayal? The sermon I heard in this garden, and I've heard a lot of messages in this garden, was one done by a brother who spoke about betrayal and how painful it is to be betrayed. And I've never forgotten that. And the older I get, the more I think I get to taste it. We are betrayed by friends sometimes. We may be not just disappointed, but betrayed by leaders, by children who have such power to hurt us, by family, by associates, people we work with, people we study with, someone we trusted, someone I trusted. And a knife is plunged into our chest and it's twisted and it's painful. And Jesus was in such anguish that as he prayed, the sweat was pouring off him so quickly, it was almost like drops of blood falling down. You imagine the exhaustion. But we're talking about David right now. David. So the king went out, and he crossed the brook Kidron. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, right past here, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. And all the people who were with him covered their heads. And they went up. They were also weeping as they went. Can you imagine this? Not Absalom, but David. And those faithful to him, they're fleeing. Because otherwise, not only will they be killed, but quite likely, Absalom and his associates will kill anyone they suspect of being faithful to David. It is a coup d'etat. We are in Gethsemane, on the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem, across from the city of David and the temple itself. In this first instance, 3,000 years ago, King David is in mortal danger. 1,000 years later, it is Jesus who is in mortal danger. I continue in 2 Samuel 16, and I'm coming to verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, a location near here that the archaeologists have identified now, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually. You remember this guy? Yeah. What a pain in the neck. Yeah. Cursing, yeah. Throwing rocks and dirt. Amazing grace that David shows this.
Yes, person. It's true.
It says that Shimei threw stones at David and all the servants of King David. And as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood. Get out, you worthless man. Great. You know, it's easy. Looks like Absalom is in the ascendant. David is losing power, so Shimei is against David. He will change later. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But King David said, leave him alone. Let him curse. It may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. What an amazing heart, David. Anointed king, rejected by his people, that fickle crowd. Think of Jesus. David and Jesus both make for the Mount of Olives. Neither is alone. Each sends some of his men back into Jerusalem, keeping the others with himself. You would read about this if we continued. David is weeping. Jesus is sorrowful unto death. David is abused by Shimei. Abishai wants to decapitate him. The arrest party comes and Peter tries to decapitate the servant of the high priest. David tells Abishai not to resist. Jesus tells Peter not to resist. Both kings have a profound sense of following the path of God, the path that God has marked out for them. The way forward is the way of pain. It's a sorrowful way. The way forward in this time of betrayal is a via dolorosa. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. You were in heaven, you were on earth, and you were right here. We believe you are here with us now in our presence as we're gathered in your name. We want to proclaim your death until you return. We want to be effective. We want to help people. We don't want to hoard the great blessings of salvation. We want to share. But we get confused sometimes. Sometimes we want to retaliate. Or sometimes we're so discouraged, we just want to stop. Help us to have the heart of grace that the Son of David had and that David himself had. Lord, we thank you for Jesus' body and blood, which are represented by this bread and this wine. As we take it all together, we think of you, and we are so profoundly grateful. Amen.
Those were Douglas's thoughts before we took communion. Very special time for myself, Penny, and for everybody there. I'd like to know what you think. What did you think about what Douglas was sharing there about the communion and about having a devotional in such a special place? Do you have a special place of your own to go and have special times of quiet with God? I'd love to know what that does for you. So please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we learn in community. And please pass the link to this on to anybody else who might find it beneficial, and leave a review, hit the like button, the subscribe button. Thank you if you've already done so. Until the next time, I hope that you have wonderful times of intimacy and spiritual refreshment from God this week. Take care and God bless.